just another one of those heroes. There's a few groups that we support, okay? Only a few, okay? And this guy, the Guild in Southern Oregon's one of them, and this guy is one of them. He's really an unsung hero in the Oregon movement. His name's Anthony Taylor, and he founded with Cheryl Smith the Compassion of Oregon, and their patient advocacy group for medical marijuana. But what some of you might not know is they're responsible for adding PTSD as a qualifying condition. Which is a big deal. You know, Californians are like, what? You can't get it for anxiety? You know, no, you gotta get it for, you know, this, that, the other thing. So it's just amazing that he did that. And it was a lot of effort and a few resources that got that done. So he, you know, support this group always because what they do is great. Now, here's the other thing that happened, which is amazing. And I think it might even be more amazing than adding PTSD as a qualifying condition. But what a lot of you don't know is when the dispensary initiative passed, okay, and when Measure 91 passed, I don't remember, Lee, maybe you could enlighten me on this a little bit, but also the criminal code changed, okay? So with 91, when it passed, the criminal code changed to it became, I don't know what it was, up to 4 ounces to a felony or something, Lee? Is anybody, is Anthony here?
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah. About 6 months before the session, I went out to Russ Belville. I went out to lunch with Russ Belville. I said, Russ, legislature's coming up. What should we do to change the law? And he says, it pisses me off that in California and Idaho and Washington, there's misdemeanor possession. There's no misdemeanor possession in Oregon. And the Oregon criminal defense lawyers championed a bill that made it, you know, less than an ounce is still a violation. Up to 4 ounces is a misdemeanor. Above 4 ounces is a felony. Between Russ and the Oregon criminal defense lawyers, that's how that happened.
Yeah, and then Anthony can expound on when the dispensary initiative passed, what happened there. So not only are we, you know...
I'm sorry.
I got confused myself. There was 91 where the criminal code changed, and I'll have Anthony qualify what happened when the dispensary initiative passed. But the deal is not only... We really are... I mean, to regulate commerce of cannabis is one thing. But as the states have set it up now, if you're not operating under the direct auspices or constructs that has been set up by the respective regulatory agency, you're still a felon, okay, if you're selling pot and you don't have this license, okay? So our ultimate goal is to end criminal penalties to compress cannabis. So maybe it's a fine instead of a crime. I don't know. There's debate to that. But the fact that if you don't have this license from the state, then it becomes a felony, and all of a sudden you can go to prison where you were a respected citizen if you had this license. It doesn't make sense to any of us. So our goal is always to liberalize the laws of cannabis and to eventually end all criminal penalties. So I've rambled enough, but this gentleman is doing those types of things. I'll let him talk about it a little bit. Please welcome to the stage Anthony Taylor. Give a big round of applause. Woo!
Hey everybody, thanks for taking time out of your day to give me a couple of minutes. I appreciate Alex giving me the opportunity to come up and address you folks. As he said, Cheryl and I formed Compassionate Oregon 2 years ago, and through our efforts we got PTSD added, sentencing reform, which Lee also and the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association also helped with. One other thing we did was we got an exemption for less than an ounce possession from the driver's license suspension. If in Oregon, if you're convicted of a controlled substance offense, you lose your license automatically for 6 months. And it doesn't matter if you were out fishing for steelhead or driving down the freeway, you lose it automatically. So we fixed that. I'm sure we'll have to adjust it again soon. The misdemeanor possession matrix that Alex spoke of will kind of fall by the wayside a little bit now that Measure 91 has changed that. So we're glad that that's going to happen. Again, you know, it's really important that we not only legalize cannabis, but free everybody that is in jail because of it. Since PTSD patients have been able to qualify for a medical marijuana card, as a veteran, it's kind of, you know, kind of emotional for me, but we now have 3,000 patients that 5% of the cardholders are now PTSD. Just over 3,000 that claim it as one or more conditions, and almost 1,000 that claim it as their sole condition for a card. So that's really good. And Compassionate Oregon has kind of teamed up with Michael Kravitz from Americans for Safe Access to Medical Marijuana. I can never remember his whole
veterans, business. Veterans for Medical Marijuana.
Veterans, yeah. So we're going to continue to work, because right now the veterans can only use cannabis under a VA healthcare plan if they have a card from a recognized medical marijuana state program. So we're going to keep pushing. There is some language in some of the legislation that will allow veterans with PTSD to only have to pay $25 for their card. We're going to try and get that veterans card fees waived completely, because they have to be part of the program. They have to be part of a state recognized program to receive their veterans care without any impact while they're using cannabis. We also hope to use the VA policy, because they've trended in the right direction. They're a federal agency, they're bound by the federal controlled substance statutes, and although that is the case, they have moved in the right direction, and now their policy is, if it's between the doctor and the patient and you have a state card, you're good to go. So that's what we're going to keep working on for the veterans. We also have a patient's rights bill introduced into this legislative session that will create lifetime cards for lifetime conditions, emergency no-cost hospice cards. We're also going to extend the protection that health professionals currently have to administer cannabis within a licensed medical facility to outside that medical facility, so that home health care people, hospice care people, those sorts of people have the protection to be able to administer cannabis to those patients that want to use it. We're also putting some anti-discrimination language in that Lee and Representative Fredericks came up with. That's part of ours too, so that you just can't discriminate against people anymore for cannabis or holding a card or whatever it might be. And in line with that, we're also going to, we have language in there that will prohibit doctors from being able to make you choose between cannabis and opioids if you're on a pain medication. And the other thing we hope to do is add transplant language, so that you can use cannabis on a transplant list, so that people like Jim Farr, that we lost this last year, so they don't have to suffer anymore and be without their medicine. There's also a gentleman in the state right now, I can't remember his name, but he came to Buckley's office saying, I have two people willing to give me their kidney for my kidney transplant, and the OHSU will perform the operation, but they will not let me do it unless I abstain from cannabis for 6 months. So that sparked Buckley's office to get in touch with us, and I gave them the language that's currently being proposed in an assembly bill in California to, you know, allow cannabis patients to use their medicine while on transplant list. So that's really about it. It's House Bill 2821. If anybody has any other questions on that bill or wants to have any other information, because I'm in that building almost every day, I'm talking to a lot of representatives. I have an open dialogue with both co-chairs on the Measure 91 committee. And so if you have any other questions, I might be able to answer them. I know there's been a lot of movement in the last few days regarding what the program's going to look like and what Measure 91 implementation is going to look like, and co-location of facilities and all that sort of stuff. So if you have any other questions about that, feel free to find me and ask me a question. I'd be happy to answer them. So again, I appreciate y'all taking a few minutes to listen to me. I'm a third generation Oregonian. I was the first paid pot lobbyist in the state of Oregon in 1985. And a few years ago, you know, Laird Funk from Southern Oregon said, you got to go back to Salem. And I said, I don't want to go back to Salem. It's ugly down there. And they're mean to me. But, you know, frankly, that hasn't been the case. Senator Boquist, a Republican who is the chair of the Veterans Committee in a democratically controlled Senate, is my senator, and I asked him to introduce a PTSD bill, so it was a bipartisan thing. So we just have to stay in touch with all our officials, local, state, all that sort of stuff, federal. So please stay active in your local communities for sure. I know Columbia County just sent out a letter to all growers saying cease and desist. So I know Tualatin's kind of doing the same sort of thing. Southern Oregon is full of that sort of thing. Jackson County just having their election. So let's stay active local. What we need to do is put together a list of all those people that have voted against us and start to replace them.
That's right. Yeah.